Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to our series on anticipating and awaiting the coming of Mashiach. Today, sustaining impact. We're going to continue the thesis that we began in our previous episode. It was a Pesach Sheni for Bringen, the year is 1984, and the Rebbe draws on the historical events of the first Pesach Sheni. He illustrates how a brand new mitzvah, a change in Torah, as it were, is brought about through the heartfelt and sincere pleas of Bnei Yisrael. And this, it becomes a precedent. And it indicates to us that if we ask Hashem with sincerity, and if we're looking for the right thing, there's an incredible amount of power and remarkable possibilities that are available to us. And so this notion that we shouldn't be asking for Mashiach, we should just wait for Mashiach to come, is actually wrongheaded. Clearly, if we ask properly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will respond to us. In today's episode, number 56 in our series, Sustaining Impact, we are going to speak not only of the fact that it's possible for us to have an impact by virtue of a demand, but in fact, this is something that's not only permissible, but mandatory. And the idea of sustaining impact is that this is connected to mandatory prayer, which is all about our needs and our sustenance. The Rebbe pointed out, not only is this demand not hepech, the opposite of Torah's instructions, which was a rhetorical question that the Rebbe himself raised, but in fact, we can see that this is something that our sages expected us to do and even warranted from each and every single member of Am Yisrael. Consider the fact that in our Shmoneh Esrei, we say daily, Es Tzemach David Avdecha Mehedo Satzmiach. We ask that Hashem speedily cause the Sion of David, your servant, to flourish, a direct request for Mashiach. And then we emphasize that by saying, Ki li Yeshuatcha kivinu kol hayoyim, because we hope for your salvation all day. And only a blessing later, we say clearly, V'sechezeno einenu b'shuvcha letzion berachamim. We ask Hashem that may our own eyes behold the restoration, the return of Hashem to Tzion in divine grace, compassion, and mercy. Now, we've talked about a number of times the concept of prayer, the definition of tefillah. According to the Rambam, is She'elat Tzrochov. We have to ask for our needs. The Rambam says in the Laws of Tefillah, the first Perek, Halacha Beis, the Rambam says clearly, what is the Chiyuv, what is the obligation? And I want to emphasize that word, obligation. The obligation of prayer is Shehe Odom Mispalel Umischanein B'chol Yoim, that a person should prayerfully entreat, that he should ask Hashem. And how is that done? Magid Shivchai, you first say Hashem's praise, that's the beginning of the Amidah, the Shmona Esrei, v'acharkach shoel tzurochov, a person asks their needs. In Halacha Dalad, the Rambam goes on to tell us that once Golu Yisrael b'yemei Nebuchadnezzar harasha, once the Jewish people were driven into exile by the wicked Nebuchadnezzar, over the period of decades, nizbalbel asfasim, they no longer had the ability to articulate themselves clearly. And because that was the case, and because when a person would speak, they couldn't speak clearly in one language and express themselves, a person couldn't express all of their needs, Ela B'Shibush in one language, but rather in a hodgepodge of languages. So once Ezra and his Beth Din saw this, Omdu V'tiknu Lehem Shmona Asei Brachot. They rose and established the 18 blessings. In other words, the 18 blessings were established because we couldn't articulate our needs. This is a need, not an elective, as we've talked about in some of the previous episodes. And so, because we're emphasizing the concept of a need, and because the Chachamim, the sages, led by Ezra, understood that we couldn't articulate our needs without help, they helped us articulate our needs. And we're saying, on a daily basis, at the time of the Amidah, when we connect with Hashem in prayer, that we're asking that this happen as speedily as possible. And here, the Rebbe emphasized the fact that we ask or make this request not once a day, but three times a day. Three times a day, we ask Hashem to send us Mashiach speedily. We're not only allowed to do this, we have to do this. It's mandated. It's a basic need. It comprises the essence of the mitzvah we call prayer. And here, the Rebbe directed our attention toward something really quite fascinating. He said, if you take a look in the Gemara, in Mesechet Brachot, on Daf Vav, on page 6, the Gemara tells us that a person should know that inasmuch as prayer is always meaningful, Daf Vav Amid Beis, the Omar Rav Chelbe, Omar Rav Huna, Rav Chelbe said in the name of Rav Huna, La'olam Yehe Adam Zahir B'Tfilas Mincha. A person should be exceedingly scrupulous or careful about the prayer of Mincha. Why? Because it's most impactful. In other words, we ask for our sustenance, but our sustaining impact is going to be felt most at Mincha. How do we know that? We have a biblical precedent. Sha'arei Eliyahu Leinene Ela B'Tfilas Mincha. Because Eliyahu HaNavi was only answered by Hashem when he prayed Mincha, at the time of Mincha. Shenemar, as it is written, Vayehi Ba'alot HaMincha. And so it came when Mincha arrived, the time of Mincha, Vayigash Eliyahu HaNavi, Eliyahu HaNavi draws close, Vayomer, and he says, etc. Aneini Hashem, Aneini, answer me, God, oh, answer me. And the Gemara says, Aneini, the first Aneini, answer me, is Shatered Eish Min HaShemayim, that the fire should descend from heaven, the Aneini, and answer me, said Eliyahu HaNavi, Shalayemru Maisek Shofim, that they won't say, ah, he's just a wizard. He's making some kind of trick. This isn't the real deal. So Eliyahu HaNavi answers Hashem, and he does so at the time of Mincha. The Mefarshim point out that because it says, La'olam Yehadim Zoyer B'Tfilas Mincha, a person should be exceedingly careful about the tefillah of Mincha, and the precedent, the proof is from Eliyahu HaNavi, how do we know that? Maybe Eliyahu HaNavi just happened to get answered when he got answered. And the answer, because the Pasuk says, Vayi ba'alot ha-mincha. It emphasizes the time in which Eliyahu HaNavi davened. This is further underscored by the words of the Rashba. In the beginning of the fifth section, the Rashba's responsa, the Rashba was asked the question, why is it that on Shabbat afternoon we say the verse, Va'ani tfilati, and for me, my prayer, L'cha Hashem et ratzon, before you God, in a time of divine grace, in a time which is propitious. And we say this on Shabbat at Mincha, and the question was posed to the Rashba, Rabbeinu Shlomo ben Avram ben Aderet, why is it that we only ask this or make this request on Shabbat afternoon and we don't say it on Yom Tov? The Rashba responded and he said, and I'm quoting, Da, you must know, Kishat Mincha Eit Merutza Bayomim. The time of Mincha is the time that is most propitious. We have the greatest opportunity to have a sustaining impact. That's at Mincha time. Now, of course, you might ask, what do you mean, Mincha time? Any time is good. Whenever you speak to Hashem with sincerity, Hashem is going to listen. Not so simple, says the Rashba. And a paradigm of this is sheyesh itim mirutzim b'shana. We have certain times of the year, certain days of the year that are most propitious. For example, aseret yemei tshuva, the 10 days of penance shebein Rosh Hashanah liyom Kippurim, that begin with Rosh Hashanah and conclude with Yom Kippur, 10 days in which we are closest to Hashem, best poised to make our requests and get a response. And so just as there could be some days in which there is a greater amount of ratzon, divine grace, more so than others, so too, there's a time during the day when we can best make our requests. And when would that be? He says, this is tefilas mincha. And the proof is, shaharei eliyo leinena ela betefilas mincha. In explaining the Gemara, the Ion Yaakov, as well as the Toh and Brachas, clearly state that the Pshat and the Gemara is as a result of the eight ratzon, the special time of Mincha. Another school of thought, which is found in the Tur and amongst other Rishonim, is that it isn't the time of Mincha, but rather the nature of Tfilat Mincha. In the parlance, in Talmudic parlance, or the jurisprudence that we use, there's a difference between the Gavra and the Cheftza, between the person who makes the engagement or performs the activity, or sometimes you talk about the object of time or a particular reality that we face. Clearly, the Rashba and the Ion Yaakov learning Pshat, learning the Gemara, understanding that the Gemara is talking about a time of divine grace. However, other Rishonim emphasize it isn't as much the time of divine grace, but it's the activity of the person. It's the way a person davens mincha, because during the day we're really busy. As the Torah says, in the morning you wake up, a Jew is observant, goes to shul and prays. At night, the Jew is observant, as finishing his day, he prays, he speaks to Hashem. Mincha, smack in the middle of the day, especially in the winter. And the fact that you remember to stop what you're doing and focus on the prayer of mincha, very meaningful. And that's why it brings forth it elicits a response from God. As we see in the book of Hayom Yom, for the entry for Chof Beis Adar Aleph, that in the second part of the Hayom Yom, we hear about the special quality of Mincha over Shacharit and Ma'ariv, is that it comes in the middle of the day when people are occupied and busy with their affairs. And yet, they interrupt, and they daven mincha. And the Alter Rebbe, and he first came to Liozna, so this is one of the earliest Hasidic teachings from the Alter Rebbe. The Alter Rebbe said to us that this really reflects the deeper essence of a human being. La'olam. La'olam is a Hebrew word, a euphemism for always, but it could also be more literally for the world. In other words, for a person's avodah, for a person's efforts to make our world a godlier and goodlier place, to sensitize ourselves and our environment. Le'olam yehei adam. A person has to be an adam. Now, the word adam is a euphemism for humanity, because it's God saying that a person is made in the image of. Adame, in the image of God. In other words, this represents the idea of using our minds, using our consciousness to be able to dominate our emotions. Animals are emotional creatures, but they don't have the freedom to choose. An animal isn't an Ovid Elokim, a servant of God per se. He's simply prone to reflexes. A human being can rise above his or her animalistic instincts by enabling La'olam yehei adam. Zohir said Alter Rebbe, means scrupulous, but it also means luminescence. It means light. It means radiance. Allow the dominance of the mind over heart and the spirit over material to become more dominant. And when does that happen? That happens in Tfilas Mincha. In other words, the concept then of us being able to use what we would call form over matter. What does that mean, form over matter? It's like when you look at a beautiful painting, you don't see pigment, you see a beautiful painting. Well, of course, the painting is comprised of oils or acrylics, but that's not what you're seeing. You're not looking at canvas. It's no longer a collection of canvas and pigments that dried on top of it. Instead, it's a beautiful painting. When a person sees a beautiful sculpture, they're not looking at marble or granite. They're looking at the form that's been imposed over that matter, or the matter as it's been modified to reflect a certain art form. So too, that's only a metaphor for what we would call spiritual dominance. In order for a person not to see a world in a crass or ordinary or pedestrian way, but to see the world as reflective of the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that happens through Tilas Mincha. So really we have two ways of looking at Mincha, the time of Mincha and the activity or efforts made to pray Mincha. Both make it most meaningful. And the Rebbe said, as such, if a person made this request at Shachrit, and then he made these requests again at Mincha, well, for heaven's sake, why repeat it again at Ma'ariv, at the evening service, especially because in many, many communities, Ma'ariv is davened shortly after Mincha. I mean, if God didn't answer you at Mincha, do you think he's going to answer you when you daven Ma'ariv? Clearly, the repetitious nature of these requests make it more meaningful. It's really simple. If we don't get answered the first time, we have to ask again. My dear friends, we have to keep asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Mashiach to come. You have to anticipate and await and desire and yearn for the coming of Mashiach to the point that you feel it's a need, it's a necessity, it's your sustenance. And when you feel it's that way and you daven with heart and soul, with sincerity, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to listen to us. It's just a matter of time, and hopefully that time is coming very soon. And the Rebbe went on to highlight what a chiddush, what a novelty this really is, and how powerful the nature of prayer or its repetitious nature is in conveying this message. Because when a person prays, the Gemara says clearly that our prayers should be done with the highest level of humility. In fact, the Gemara tells us in Masechet Shabbat, and this is found on page 10, that Rav Ashi saw Rav Kahana prepare himself to pray. And he saw that Rav Kahana divested himself of his finer raiments, more beautiful clothing. And he stood in a very humble way before Hashem. Omar, he said that the reason he prays in this fashion is because he seeks to emulate the position assumed by a servant before a master. In the language of the Gemara, ka'avde kamei morei, like a servant who stands before his or her master. Now, the truth is that the Gemara says that there are different times of prayer. There are good times and bad times. There are times of plenty, and then times when there is difficulty and challenge and despair. But very interestingly, when the Rambam quotes this halacha, and he quotes it in halacha, in the fifth chapter of the Laws of Tefillah, in halacha dalet, he says simply, "Ve'omed ke'eved lifnei rabo." When a person assumes the proper prayer posture, because that's what halacha dalet is all about, he stands like a servant before his master, "Be'ema ve'yira ufachad," with a sense of awe and fear and trepidation. So this is not about being cavalier or chas v'shalom, familiarity which can breed contempt. We have to stand before God with the ultimate humility. Interestingly, when the Alter Rebbe quotes this halacha, he goes even further. He doesn't just say va'omed, but the Alter Rebbe in the end of chapter 95 of Eirach Chaim says, tzarich lamed b'tfilah ke'eved lifnei rabbi. You have to stand before God when you pray with the utmost greatest humility, be'ema be'yira b'fachad. He doesn't say like the Rambam, v'yira v'fachad. He says in awe, in fear, in trepidation. So here we are, in awe, in fear and trepidation, overwhelmed by the greatness of God's presence, and we're making demands. Well, clearly, yes. Obviously, we have to stand before Hashem with a great deal of humility. It's clear that we have to stand before Hashem with enormous respect. But that does not preclude us from demanding that Mashiach come now. And when we follow the words of our sages, standing before Hashem with that kind of humility, but making those demands, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to respond, just like he did in the time of Pesach Sheni. The Rebbe noted that if you take a look further in the Gemara also tells us that when a person stands before Hashem in prayer, that our prayers should be relatively curt. That we should pray with a sense of, well, shall we just say, not being cavalier about it. The Gemara is found in Meseches Brachos, and this is on in chapter 9, Daf Samach Aleph, in the beginning of page 61, the Gemara says, Va'omar Rav Huna, Omar Rav Mishum Rabbi Meir, Rav Huna said, in the name of Rav, who cited a teaching from Rabbi Meir, La'olam yehi dvarav shal adam mu'atim lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that when a person stands before God and he prays, his words should be few. Why? Shenemar, and here he quotes a verse from the teachings of Ecclesiastics from Koheles, that there it is clearly stated in the fifth chapter right in the beginning, Al tivahel, al picha velibcha al yemaher. Don't be rash with your mouth. Don't let your heart be hasty to utter words before Hashem. Lehitzi davar lefnei elekim. Ki ho elekim bashamayim va'ato al ha'aretz. Because God is, so to speak, in the heavens, and you're on the earth. Therefore, let your words be few. The Maharsha explains that this idea of God being in the heavens and you being on earth ultimately means that a person has to be very careful with the prayers that he or she makes. Because you might be in a situation where you're having midat hadin, you're faced with divine retribution, or God forbid, judgment. So even at such a time, al yivakesh rachamim, a person should not ask Hashem excessively. Digam im yavo al ha'odom midat puronot. Maharsha says, even if heaven forfend, difficult or punishing circumstances come upon a person, yudvarov lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu ma'atim, a person should speak precious few words. Choose your expressions carefully. Vayadaber b'harbe. Don't just speak excessively. And don't try to second-guess God. Ki ho elekim bashamayim va'ata ala oretz, because God's vantage point, God sees what you don't see. You may not realize, says the Maharsha, the ovid lecha dover zeh letova, that this ultimately is for your good. So pray with humility. You know what they say in English? Don't shoot your mouth off. The commentaries on Kohelet invoke the words of the Gemara. And, for example, the Metzudais David says, Ki b'marvis dvarim tovi lehislonen o lehisraim mugzeres hamokim. If a person gets really comfortable and says whatever comes to mind and doesn't choose their words carefully before Hashem, you may come to cast aspersion on God. It's an act of unfaithfulness, not appropriate. The Sepharno says, Lo ta'arich dvarim b'tfilatcha yoter min hatzorich. Don't pray more than you must. Pein toser behen min hakavana haruya. Because with lots of words, you can easily lose concentration. And that's the opposite of a mitzvah. Rabbeinu Avraham Ibn Ezra waxes on here in great length, speaking about the various liturgical poems, which he's not very happy about. And he says, he finishes off with these words, Hatov be'enai, what I believe is good in my eyes, he says, is Shalo yispalel odom bahem kim tfilah hakavua. Don't engage in all these various prayer hymns. Stick to the affixed prayers, the yu dvarim ma'atim, and make sure your words are few. In this way, you don't earn yourself the opposite of a reward. Clearly, when we pray, we have to be very careful with our words. And that, says the Rebbe, is precisely the point. Despite the fact that a person prayed for Shacharit, and again he prayed for Mincha, he's again doing this at Ma'ariv. Despite the fact that a person must stand before Hashem with the greatest of humility, and despite the fact that we are ordained to be very careful with our words, we still say, Estzemach David Avdecha Meheda Satzmiach. We still say, Rabbeinu Shalaylam, please, can you hurry up this process? Your children are waiting for a very long time. V'sechazeno einenu. We are waiting to see with our own eyes as you return to Tzion with the coming of Mashiach. My dear friends, such is the nature of our prayer and the power that is vested in them. Such is the nature of the ability that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. If we ask with sincerity from our hearts, Hashem is surely going to respond to us. May it be, b'mehira u'b'yameinu, speedily, and in our days, amen. Thanks so much for joining. Please share this message. If you haven't yet subscribed, please do so. Enable notifications. Let's get the message out, because the more of us that will pray from the depths of our heart, the quicker Mashiach will finally come. Thank you.